Psalm number 96, short psalm. Let's read it. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen, His wonders among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and beauty are in His sanctuary. Give unto the Lord, O ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Bring an offering and come into His courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before Him all the earth. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth. The world also should be established and that it shall not be moved. He shall judge the people righteously. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar and the fullness thereof. Let the field be joyful and all that is therein. Then shall all the trees of the wood rejoice before the Lord. For he cometh to judge the earth. He shall judge the world with righteousness and the people with His truth. Isn't that a wonderful psalm? That's a great chapter. I'm using verse 1 and 2 as a launching pad, and I really could take you to 100 different verses, but in 1 and 2, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Show forth His salvation from day to day. I love to sing. Now, I'm not much of a singer. I'm well aware of that. But I love to sing. I especially love to sing in the car when I'm driving. Whether it's turned radio on, you can't hardly find anything good, or a CD, or nowadays on your phone. I love to sing. I love congregational singing. I love spiritual music. I love soul-stirring music. And I don't know how or when it started, but I would say that we have better than average congregational singing for a church our size here at Victory Baptist Church. And it's not just a warm-up. It's not just a filler before we get to the sermon. But singing is a big part of our worship service, as it should be. I go to a lot of churches. Well, not a lot. I go to some churches where the music is poor. It's listless, it's lifeless, it's quiet and subdued, and there's no life in it. And it's hard to worship God sometimes without song. And singing is good. Now, I'm not dealing this morning with types of music. I'm dealing this morning with just singing. I have preached on the different kinds of music a lot of times before. There are sermons on sermon audio. If you're interested, you can listen to it. Here's what I will say, though. If you are saved, all right, then you already know if the music that you listen to is spiritual or not. And the reason you know that is because the Holy Spirit will tell you. Not preaching on music, but there's not a single Christian in here who believes in your heart that country music, rock and roll, pop, whoever's hot nowadays, does Britney Spears still sing? That's the last one I know of. But, okay, whoever is popular nowadays, all right? You already know, if you're a Christian, that is not godly music and it doesn't honor Christ. But I'm not dealing with that. I'm just dealing with singing. And for those who love God and believe God and we want to grow and we want to mature and we want to worship, singing is important. And of all of God's creatures, He gave man the ability to sing. Now, if you Google it, there are websites that say that certain animals, like the humpback whale or the hummingbird, have the ability to sing. That's not true. Because singing is not just making noise. Singing is words and melody put together. They may have mating calls and whistles and crows and calls and all of that, but no animal, no other creature has the ability to put words to music and sing it. Now somebody says, oh, wait a minute, what about the angels? Because, you know, the Bible says, hark, the herald angels sing glory to the newborn king. No, it doesn't say that. Right? The Bible said, check it out. The Bible says that they said glory to God in the highest, not that they sang. Now in Job chapter 1, the Bible says that the morning stars sang for joy at creation. We don't know exactly who the morning stars were. They are some type of created spirit, angelic beings. But isn't it strange that angels do not sing at the incarnation? You would think that would be a song-worthy event. But they don't sing there. And somebody said, boy, when I get to heaven, I'm going to sing with the angelic choir. I don't know if that's true or not. It might be that they sit back and they listen to us sing. Because you see, in the Bible, it is redeemed creatures that sing, and angels have never been redeemed. And God gives a song to the redeemed, and that's something they don't have. And so we sing, but you don't find the rest of God's creation singing. But man's made in the image of God, and did you know that God sings? Oh, He does. Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, the Lord thy God, in the midst of thee is mighty, He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love. And I get a blessing out of this. He will joy over thee with singing. God rejoices over us with singing. And it's the only place in the Bible that I can find God singing. And here's what He's singing about. He's singing about His love for me. Well, I thought that's what I sing about. I get blessed when I think about His love for me, and I sing about that. He gets blessed when He thinks about His love for me, and He sings about that. So God sings. He's made us in His image, and He gives us the ability and the nature to sing. In these two verses, Psalm 96 and verse 1, oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name. Psalm 47 and verse 6, sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises unto our King. Sing praises. So seven times in three verses we are told to sing, and I could take you to 100 more. Somebody has counted, I'll take their word for it, said there are over 400 references to singing in the Bible and over 50 direct commands to sing. The longest book in the Bible is a book of songs. Two times in the New Testament we are commanded, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. I'm getting the idea. Singing is important. And you don't even have to be a good singer to sing. Amen. Now, why does God tell us not just to praise Him, but to sing His praises? What if when we come to church, if all we do is preach and pray? Why do we have singing at every church service? And remember, you can have instrumental music without words, but that's not singing. I want you to be specific with me, all right? You can have preaching, you can have testifying, but that's not words with singing. Singing is words put to a melody, and that's what God wants us to do. Now, there are some people who believe that music or singing supersedes the word. That is, that the music is more important than the words. That you ought to put all of your energy and all of your focus in the music. Make sure it's upbeat and exciting and fun and pop and hip and whatever that is. And that's more important than the lyrics that you sing. Those kind of people would hate slow music. Near my God to thee. They wouldn't like that kind of music. They wouldn't like a cappella music at all. Because it's all got to be upbeat and exciting and fast and all of that. They think that the message can't be carried by the words alone. You have to have a certain style of music. So some people believe that music supersedes the word. Some people believe that the music undermines the word. There are some who believe that music is so powerful that it actually dilutes the message. It gets in the way. If you were in a Church of Christ this morning, they would sing all a cappella music. They don't believe in instrumental music, and one of their arguments is that in the New Testament, music is never mentioned, only singing. And that's one of their justifications for just a cappella music. I love a cappella music. Obviously, I'm not against musical instruments. During the Reformation, there was a reformer in Switzerland. His name was Zwingli, or it's Zwingli. And Zwingli believed it so much that he banned all music in his meetings, because he was afraid that the power of the music would override the word. So some people believe that music supersedes the word. Some people believe that music undermines the word. I believe that music serves the word. Music and words are not in conflict with each other. Music is a powerful gift that supplements, it uplifts, it enhances, it supports, it deepens the truth in the lyrics. And singing is important in our worship and in our services. And let me just give you a couple of ways that singing is important, and then I'll get to my outline in just a minute. So the first thing I would say is that singing helps us remember words. Now, you know that to be true. You learned it from your childhood. That's how you learn the alphabet. You know, old MacDonald had a farm, E-A-E-I-I-O, or whatever it is, right? That's how you learn the animals. That's how you learn the alphabet. And some of you can remember lyrics to songs you haven't heard in 20 years. My wife has an amazing memory of songs. My wife knows the words to every nursery rhyme, Itsy Bitsy Spider, and I mean, she didn't know, I don't know any of those things. There was a time in my wife's life during her teen years that she was rebellious. And rebellious teenagers always listen to worldly music. Always. And so there was a time in her life when she listened to whatever was popular back then. And even now, she can be in Walmart or something come on the radio, and it'd be a song from back in the 80s or 90s or whenever, you know. And she'll know the words of that song. I ain't never heard that song in my life. Like, how do you know that song? Well, that was back during her, you know, rebellious time. And you remember that. And you remember Christmas carols and nursery rhymes and hymns. It's amazing how many words you have memorized and you don't even realize it. You have stored in your brain the words to hundreds of songs, and they can be recalled at a moment's notice because there is something powerful about the patterns of music that your brain is hardwired to recognize and to remember. And by the way, that's a Bible concept. Brother Marcus has us singing these scripture songs. That's a great thing. We really need to do that a whole lot more. Listen to Deuteronomy 31, verse 19. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. For when I shall have brought them into the land which I swear unto their fathers, that floweth with milk and honey, and they shall have eaten and filled themselves, and waxen fat, then will they turn unto other gods, and serve them, and provoke me, and break my covenant. And it shall come to pass, when many evils and troubles are befallen them, that this song shall testify against them as a witness. Watch this, for it shall not be forgotten out of the mouths of their seed. God told Moses, write a song, teach it to the children of Israel about the wonders of God, so that when troubles come, they'll not forget the wonders of God. Put it in a song so it will be stuck in their head. That jingle, if I could use that word, will be stuck in their head. And God said, I'm going to use that song one day to prick their conscience. And so teach your children a song and they'll not forget, because singing helps us to remember. Now, to put that in very practical terms, then what that means is we ought to sing songs that have effective melodies that are easy to remember. One of my favorite hymns is Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. I love that song. It has great words, but it also has a beautiful, pleasant, easy-to-sing melody. You could take those same words and you could put it in an upbeat tempo or a very difficult minor key modulated melody, and it would not have the same power. It wouldn't be as easy to remember, because the music doesn't enhance the lyrics of that song. And so you sing. By the way, singing helps us remember. That's why we should sing words that God wants us to remember. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, in spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. The songs that you sing have an impact on your life. You are what you sing. So when we sing, whether it's in congregation, solo, trio, in your car, whatever it might, be careful to vet the words of the song. Even a hymn that we can adopt and we sing in our church can be a song that we have to be careful that it's doctrinally sound. Never sacrifice the word of Christ for a pretty melody. And what ought to dwell with you, what ought to go with us, is the word of Christ. The word of Christ is the word about Christ. And music that is not written to be a gospel hit, music that's not written to sell a CD, but music that teaches us, that spirit-filled, and singing doesn't replace preaching, but singing should preach. Does that make sense to you? So singing is important because it helps us remember. And then I would say that singing is important because it helps us engage emotionally with words. Now, I'm not going deep, but it's not only to remember the words, but to connect emotionally with the words. When I was in grammar school, I had to remember the being verbs. I had to memorize. Had to remember the multiplication tables. Memorize them. Had to recite all this stuff. I can still remember them. But I have no emotional connection to the multiplication table. It doesn't bless my heart. But music is an emotional language. It touches our feelings. Saul had a troubled spirit, but it was calm when David came in and he played on his heart. That's the emotional power of music. So it's not just words, it's the music that affects our soul. Which is why the style of music is so important. Now again, I'm not preaching on music this morning, all right, and if I was, I could stop right there and go at it. But I had the radio on the other day on a Christian station, and they'll play one good song and nine bad ones. And you kind of got to pick and choose. You know how it is. And they came on with some group came on singing Amazing Grace. Good song. Hard to mess Amazing Grace up. But they succeeded. They did. They had put it as this hip, upbeat tempo. And it was almost repulsive. It was all you know. What I'm doing. And it was almost irreverent to the words because it didn't enhance the music of the message. It was the same words, but it was almost like it was a different message. If you know music, when it's out of tune, when it's out of sync, when it's out of time, that doesn't move you as much. Music is supposed to pick up those words and enhance the emotional appeal to our heart. And here's why singing is important. Because it draws out the words so that you have time to think about the words. You take the song, It Is Well With My Soul. Now, I could get up here in a hymn and I could just read the words to you. But it wouldn't mean as much to you. But there's pauses. There's words that you repeat. There's an echo in that song. And as you're singing through that, boy, especially that last verse, it gives you time to meditate and it gives you time to think. And the mood of the music matches the message of the song. The holiness of God isn't communicated in an upbeat, I'll fly away tempo. But when you sing, majestic sweetness sits enthroned, you catch the majesty of God. But if we're going to sing about the victory in Jesus, we don't sing that in a minor key and slow and mournful. That's upbeat, it's jubilant, it's victorious. Now, there's always a ditch on either side. And the ditch on both sides is formalism and emotionalism. Some churches sing without feeling. But some churches are all emotion. And here's the danger with emotionalism. Emotionalism just pursues a feeling. And if that's what you're pursuing, then it doesn't matter how you get the feeling, as long as you get to the feeling, because that's the goal. So if we need a rock band, if we need contemporary music, if we need whatever we need to get to that feeling, then we go with that. But the other side of the coin is singing should not be done without emotion. Now, I know there are times that we come to church, and I was telling somebody, I think Brother Nathan, the word great, boy, everything is just great. And that word gets, well, that was a great sermon. That was a great service. No, not always. Sometimes it's a blah sermon. Sometimes it's just average. But not everything's a 10. Would you help me a little bit this morning? All right? So not every service that you come to is roo-roo-rah-ha. No, sometimes it was just church. Sometimes it was great church. Sometimes it's, you know what? I don't know, Brother Schreier, if you ever had that. Come back next Sunday, we'll try it again and see if it's any better. Okay. But sometimes that's how it is. But when we come together as a church and sing, we ought to sing with emotion. Especially considering the songs that we sing. John Wesley, the great hymn writer, here's what he said. This is an introduction to one of his hymnals. Sing lustily and with good courage. Beware of singing as if you were half dead or half asleep. Lift up your voice with strength. Be no more afraid of your voice now, nor more ashamed of its being heard than when you sung the songs of Satan. That's good. Man, come in and lift up your voice and sing. Even if you're not the greatest singer, you're not singing for everybody. Hey, you're singing to Him, so go ahead and sing. Singing helps us remember words. It helps us connect emotionally with words. Here's the third thing. Singing helps us express our unity. People sing together for the strangest of reasons. Thousands of people that have absolutely nothing in common will gather in a stadium and will sing some fight song for their team. And that song draws them together. A bunch of drunks singing at a New Year's party. Teenagers singing at a rock concert. Probably the most annoying idea anybody has ever come up in the history of the world is singing happy birthday to you at a restaurant. Really? That's all I want is 5 or 6 Mexicans get around me, put a sombrero on my head, and sing happy birthday to me in broken English strumming a ukulele. I don't know whoever came up with that idea. That is the dumbest idea that has ever been thought of. But singing brings you together. It builds a camaraderie, even if it is for a very short amount of time. We're expressing the same words, the same thoughts, the same intentions, the same passions. And I really believe that we are called not just to sing to each other, but to sing with each other. And can I tell you that every voice in the church matters? The question is not, do you have a voice? The question is, do you have a song? And when we come together and we sing the songs of the redeemed, every voice contributing, it's expressing the unity of truth. And herein lies the fallacy of a church having a contemporary service and a traditional service. It's dividing the church over a music style. It separates generations of believers who ought to be coming together and worshiping together. It expresses unity. I think the Bible's got a lot to say about singing. And when we come to church, and when we sing, and when you sing out there, that is a ministry. It is important. Let me give you 5 things that singing does, all right? Number 1, singing reverences the Savior. Now, I'll use myself as an example here because I love to sing in the car. I enjoy that, all right? And when I go down the road, I get to choose what I'm going to do. I could turn the radio on and listen to Rush Limbaugh and get depressed. I could sit in silence, meditate. I could put on a CD. I get to choose what I'm going to occupy my mind with during that drive. Or while you're washing the dishes or whatever it might be. And when I choose, what do I want to do with this 30-minute drive? What do I want to do with this commute? Here's what I'm going to do. I want to put on some music in my phone or wherever, and I'm going to pick this music because this really stirs my heart and it reverences the Lord. Now, when I choose that I'm going to use this time to sing about Jesus, tell me that that doesn't reverence Him. When all that is in me is responding to all that I know about God. And when we sing congregational, solo, trio, whatever it might be, the fundamental question is, here it is, who are you singing to? Is people your audience or is God your audience? Yeah. So I get a little leery of somebody who only sing a solo. Why is that? If you're singing to God, can you not sing together as a group? Now, we have groups and we have soloists and special music, and God has blessed us with all kinds of talent. But when we sing, our primary audience ought to be God. Could I get an amen right there? I did a search through the concordance, and I just give you a few of these. Here's some of the phrases you find. Sing to thy name, sing unto the Lord, sing ye to the Lord, sing praise to the Lord, sing praise unto thy name, sing praise to the name of the Lord, sing praise to thee, make a joyful noise unto God, make a joyful noise unto Him, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's over and over and over and over. And so in most churches, the audience of most music is the people. And there is a biblical basis. Listen, there's a biblical basis for singing to one another. That's how we edify one another. But the overwhelming majority, or the emphasis in the Bible, is instructing us to sing to Him. Here's the beauty of it, alright? Some of you will get blessed by this. The beauty of it is that if you have a voice that only your mom could love, God likes to hear you sing. When your four-year-old comes home from Sunday school and wants to sing you a song, and it's three tunes and four lyrics that are all mixed up, and it's making happen, how does that make you feel? It makes you feel wonderful. Because your child has a song in his heart and he wants to sing to you, and God likes to hear you sing. Singing reverences the Savior. Here's the second thing that does. Singing resists Satan. Now I want you to see this. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. I want you to turn here. Let me show you a passage of Scripture. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. And look at verse number 15. 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 15. He said, "Hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korahites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. They rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa, and as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which when they were come against Judah, and they were smitten. Jehoshaphat is one of the godly kings of Judah. And this is during a time of some of their enemies, the Moabites, Ammonites, the people of Mount Seir, have gathered themselves, and they're going to come against Judah. And when Jehoshaphat goes to pray about it, the Lord tells him, "Don't worry about it. I'll take care of it." That's basically what he says. He says, "You're not even going to need to fight in this battle. You just stand back and you watch me, and I'm going to fight this battle for you." That's pretty good, isn't it? You don't have to fight the battle. I'll fight the battle for you. He said, "In fact, tell you what, go ahead and get the Levites together. Go ahead and start singing. Go ahead and start singing the praise service, because I'm going to take care of this for you." Well, that's a pretty good deal. Usually, we say when God gives us the victory, we'll praise Him. What might be God's waiting for us to praise Him so He can give us the victory. Right? And by the way, it might just be that the reason that you don't see more victory in your life is you're waiting for God to do something so you can praise Him. He's waiting for you to praise Him so He can do something. Well, when Jehoshaphat put the battle in array, he put the choir on the front line. He's going to conquer them with a choir. And I wonder what the enemies thought when they came out there and they got their swords and their shields and their spears, and there's the choir. And in my imagination, maybe in their choir robes, I don't know. Can you imagine? There's the choir, and there's Marcus Hannon, and there's Kimmel, and this is going to be the beginning of the battle right here. But if God is going to fight the battle, what else is there for you to do, left to do except go ahead and start praising me? God set an ambush against Ammon and Moab, and they turned against Mount Seir, and then they turned against each other, and the choir just keeps on the singing. Just keeps on singing. And I don't think we'd be stepping out of bounds to say that singing is a way of spiritual warfare. It resists the enemy. Oh, I know that in my own mind. Because I'm going to tell you, the devil will get on my shoulder. The devil will get on my case. The devil has a way of discouraging me, but I'm going to tell you, it's hard to stay discouraged when you just go ahead and sing. The Bible says in Psalm 22 and verse 3, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praise of Israel." That's his address. That's where he lives. He inhabits. He lives at the praise of his people. Profanity is the reverse of praise. Profanity is cursing God instead of blessing God. And the reason why so many people curse every day in their everyday language is because they're full of the devil. And that's what the devil likes. But there's something about praise that the devil is allergic to. Singing reverences the Savior. Singing resists Satan. Here's the third thing. Singing releases the Spirit. Look at Psalm chapter 61. Psalm chapter 61. Now, read a couple of verses here. Psalm 61. Psalm 61 and verse 1. "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee, when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I." Then come down to verse number 7. "He shall abide before God forever. Oh, prepare mercy and truth which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever." Watch this. "That I may daily perform my vows." In verse 2, David starts out in this very simple psalm at being overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. Right now, I have a lot on my plate. I've got some meetings, I've got different things I've got going on. And sometimes you get to the place where you can't just pull it all together. There's times, man, when I'm on this financial plan, and boy, I'm doing good, and I'm doing good, and then something comes and just knocks the legs out from under. Or I have a week that's pretty good, and I get rested up, but here comes another 70-hour week. And I can't get it all done. I don't know if you've ever been, and sometimes it's just like, phew, I can't catch my breath. And you can be so busy doing good things. And you can just be overwhelmed in your spirit. Not everything that has to be bad and climactic and a crisis, but it's just like, man, I just can't get my head above waters. But in that season of being overwhelmed, David says, "I'm going to sing. And when I sing, I'll be able to daily perform my vows." The joy of the Lord is your strength. You're a stronger Christian when you are encouraged than when you are discouraged. But how do you keep the joy of the Lord? You praise Him. God shows up in the person of the Holy Spirit who refreshes and revives and rejuvenates that spirit. Your praise to God and your performance for God are inseparably linked. Singing refreshes, releases the Spirit. Here's the fourth one. You still with me? Say amen. Singing refreshes the soul. There is a phenomenon in modern day culture, but really modern day Christianity, that in this day and age, everybody has a disorder. Now, I'm not a mental therapist. I'm not a psychologist. Nothing like that. But we have so many disorders, you can't keep up with the names. We have drugs to calm us down, and we have drugs to fire us up. And Christians are going to therapists and taking their kids to psychologists and all the messes we get into when we forsake the teachings of the Word of God. And I believe that I can identify the root cause for all of these newfound disorders. Are you ready for it? It is self-centeredness. Self-centered. Most nervous disorders and phobias, all of these preoccupations, it is a preoccupation with the ego. Because somewhere along the line, we've come to believe that we are the center of the universe. And that self-centeredness drives everything, but everything that is not God-centric is going to end up in trouble. I'll show you this morning who is the center of the universe. Are you ready for this? It's in Colossians 1 and verse 16, "For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist." You're not the center of the universe. Jesus Christ is. It's all created by Him. Why did He create it? For Him. And if you take Jesus out of the equation and put yourself in His place, I'm telling you, everything is going to fall apart. And the reason why so many Christians have so much confusion and chaos is they've done just that. There's a built-in destructiveness in living a self-serving life. And if you want a life that's not falling apart all the time, then just make sure that Jesus is the center. And a person who lives for themselves and they are at the center of the world will never learn to enjoy or praise God. You can't praise Him without relinquishing your occupation with self. But when praise becomes a way of life, then the lovely Savior becomes the center of your attention. And when you worship the King in the beauty of holiness, there is something that happens inside of you that renews you, that reinvigorates you, that refreshes you, and you will find that you cannot have a bad attitude and sin. You cannot be mad at the world and happy in Jesus at the same time. It is impossible. Somebody needs this this morning. I'm sitting right down beside of you and I am preaching right to you. You cannot sing and sulk simultaneously. They can give God the glory. I can't give God the glory. I'm taking the accursed thing. Singing revives the soul. Isaiah 61 and verse 3. "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." You ever had that? Have you ever had the spirit of heaviness? What He wants to do is exchange the spirit of heaviness for the garments of praise. Praise will remove that spirit of heaviness. I believe that praise changes you. I believe that praise makes you a better Christian. Because when you worship Him as you ought, you become as you ought. It refreshes the soul. Let me give you the last thing this morning. Singing reaches the sinner. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1. "I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, established my goings." Verse 3, "He hath put a new song into my mouth." Watch this. "Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust in the Lord." I always thought it was interesting how it's worded. "Put a new song in my mouth. Even praise unto our God. Many shall see it." I thought about that. And it's not that they see you singing while you're walking down the aisle of Walmart. That's not what it's about. But they see the change in your life and the joy that that has brought. And they may not see the actual song. They see what has created the song in your heart. And should not people look at you and I and wonder, how can you be so joyful? How can you sing in the storm? How can you have victory in trials? And what's attractive to the sinner is that you can sing even when the world is crumbling all around you. And when a sinner comes into our church services, even though they may not understand the doctrine to all the songs that we sing, What do they think when we sing Dwelling in Beulah Land? Do they understand that? But even if they don't understand all of the doctrine of our hymnals, when they hear us sing, they'll look around and say, these people really believe this. And before long, they'll start believing it too. Singing reaches the sinner. Singing is a great gift. It is a blessed ministry. Because singing ministers to God, it ministers to yourself, and it ministers to others. It exalts the Lord. It encourages you. It edifies one another. And I'm glad we have good singing in our church. I want to constantly be enhancing it. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to use the gift of singing not to promote yourself, but to lift your spirit and as a vehicle of praise to the Lord. And let me tell you something. In eternity, you will either sing or you will not sing. And here's what I mean by that. One day you're going to die, and you're going to end up in one of two places, heaven or hell. Do you know what they do in heaven? They sing. They praise God. Do you know what they do in hell? They curse. They blaspheme God. Heaven is a place of nothing but praise. Hell is a place of nothing but cursing. So for all of eternity, you're going to do one or the other. You're going to sing or not sing. Somebody said, well, preacher, I'm not that bad. I know sinners that are a whole lot worse than me. They say that the deadliest poison, I had to look this up, and I don't know if I pronounce it right. They say the deadliest poison, peanut butter come. The deadliest poison known to man is botulinum. I believe is the way that you say that. They say if you come into contact with it, it shuts down your nervous system within seconds. 100% chance that you die almost immediately. A spoonful of that poison, they say, is powerful enough to kill millions of people. If you were to take a bottle and you were just to touch it to your lips, you'd be dead before you could put the bottle down. Do you know what would happen if you drank the whole bottle? You'd be just as dead. There's no degrees of dead. Once you're dead, you're dead. And that's the problem with sin. It's not the amount of sin that you've done. It is the fact of sin. And it doesn't matter if you've sinned one drop or if you drank the whole bottle. One sin is enough to send you to hell. And the wonder of being saved is that Christ has redeemed us from all our sin. He died to save you. He rose from the dead. He lives in heaven. He has saved many of us. And if you're not saved, He'll save you. And that is something worth singing about. I can't fix the seasons of your life. And I can't fix the situations of your life. I can't fix those things. But I can tell you that if you will sing to Him, the Holy Spirit will move inside that. And that will minister to you. And minister to you.